impact on anyone that he came in contact with. Jesus, everywhere he went about doing good. He went about healing the sick. He went about causing the blind to see and the lame to walk again and doing all of these things, but he also went about forgiving sins. And anybody that Jesus came into contact with, their life was impacted. Some believed on Jesus Christ and followed him because of who he was. They believed that he was the Son of God, and some believed on him and followed him as he performed miracle after miracle. Others, because of their hatred for Jesus Christ and the hatred in their heart, they completely ignored the miraculous things that he did and rejected him. We've read, for those of you who are our guests again, if you go back in the prior chapters in the book of Mark here, you would find that Jesus is performing miracles, doing things that no human could possibly do. You know, those who were sick and lame, he'd caused them to walk, and there was a man who had a withered hand. His hand was all crumpled up like this, probably. He couldn't use it. He was deformed, and it might have been even smaller than the other one, and he was a cripple that way. And in front of everyone, Jesus told that man to put forth his hand, and he restored it whole as the other one. Right in the eyes of everyone standing around and watching, a miraculous thing. And there were those Pharisees, religious people, who saw what he did, who completely ignored this miraculous thing that took place, and they went about accusing him, and they hated him as if nothing happened. I mean, how would you respond if there was a person that you knew who was a cripple, who couldn't walk, and he was laid in his bed for all of his life, and somebody comes along, Jesus comes along, he says, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the guy gets up and he takes his bed and he starts leaping and running and what? We would be like, how would we respond to something like that? It seems like we would just be in awe of this man, this person, and we would believe that he had the power of God, but not these folks. They looked right past the miracles that Jesus did and rejected him because they hated him. And so, either way, as we're looking through the life of Jesus, we're seeing that everybody that Jesus came in contact with, their life was impacted somehow. And they chose to either believe on him or to reject him. And this is always the nature of the life of Jesus. One thing was always consistent, though, that nobody stayed the same when Jesus came into their life. Nobody stayed the same when Jesus came into their life. And you know, let's think about this for a moment, because Jesus Christ is still the same Lord today that he was back then. He still has the same power that he's always had. And Jesus Christ will impact and change a person's life in the very same way if they'll let him in, if they'll let him. My thought to you this morning and my challenge to you this morning, something that I want you to begin to ponder and think about as we look into the Bible today. Could you be the one who needs a life change? Could you be the one that Jesus wants to impact today? He's the same God, the same Lord, the same power. And everywhere he went, he always impacted somebody's life. And he'll do the very same thing today. Could you be the one that Jesus Christ wants to make a change in today? Think about this as we begin to look in the scriptures here this morning. I want you to look in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." I want us to look at this portion of Scripture here this morning. I'm going to go through this verse by verse and look at the life of this woman. Here was a woman who had some real issues that she was dealing with in her life. And we're going to look and we're going to see how she tried all that was humanly possible to deal with these issues in her life, but nothing would work. And it wasn't until Jesus came into her life that she experienced the change that she was longing for, that she needed. And the title of the message this morning is Helping the Helpless. Jesus helping the helpless. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin, okay? Father, we ask that you'd bless the preaching of your word. Father, we pray that you'd lift up the name of Jesus Christ, that you'd help us to do the same, and Father, to point to Him and to glorify Him and magnify Him. And Father, we pray that the Word of God would have its effect, the desired effect in the hearts and lives of people today. And Lord, that each heart would be tender and responsive, that your Spirit would bring conviction of sin, and Father, that you'd teach us of righteousness and judgment to come. And Father, that you would be pleased with the response of people today. Accomplish your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the context here of this portion of Scripture, Jesus is actually on the way to deal with another issue. If you were to go back into this portion, in this passage, and read, there was a man named Jairus whose daughter was sick. She was about to die. And this man was an important man. And he was a famous man. And he came to Jesus and he said, "My daughter's about to die. Would you come and would you heal her?" He believed that Jesus could do that. And Jesus consented, and he was actually on his way to do this. There were throngs of people following him. And in the middle of all of this, there's another woman, a poor woman, who doesn't want attention drawn to herself. She doesn't want to even be noticed. But she has a problem inside that she cannot deal with. And she said in her heart, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I can be made whole." And she worked her way through the crowd, trying not to attract attention, trying not to draw attention to herself. She just knew and she believed that Jesus could do this if she could just touch him. And so she works her way through the crowd. And I can just imagine, picture this with me. I can just imagine her, you know, with these throngs of people around Jesus. I mean, and Jesus and his disciples are being, you know, squished. There was no personal bubble space, you know, for Jesus. People thronged him. And brushing up against him and pushing and all of this because people were flocking to Jesus. And here she works her way through the crowd. And maybe Jesus stopped at a moment because of the press of people and like a traffic jam, it just kind of halted. And here she is right behind him. And she just kneels down on the ground just to touch the hem of his garment. It was her chance. And she took her chance because she was that close to Jesus. And the Bible says that immediately she knew inside of her that she had been healed. The fountain of her blood dried up. Power from the Lord Jesus Christ to make a great change. The Bible says that Jesus stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, "Jesus, really? I mean, all of these people pushing and thronging, and you say, who touched me? And Jesus said he knew virtue had gone out of him. And he finds this poor woman who, in front of everybody, begins to tell him what she was thinking, what she had done. And notice verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know what? We get the idea and the impression here that this woman had no peace in her heart. She had issues she was dealing with. They were overwhelming her and she couldn't take it anymore. And she was not at peace in her soul until Jesus came into her life. And Jesus said, it's your faith that has made you whole. Go in peace. What is it that people really, really long for in this life, in this world? People say, oh, I want money. I want happiness. I want fame. I want all of this. But really, people know. They really know that that can't really bring peace to their soul. Peace is what people really, really want. Even though they try for other things, they think that maybe this will bring peace and maybe that will bring peace, and they put all their efforts into these other things, but they know that those things can't really bring happiness. After some time, they figure it out. And they keep looking for something else. I wonder if that's why there are so many who are alcoholics, who are drug addicts, because they've tried all of these things and their problems in their life are still there and they want just a moment of peace, and so they go to the bottle because it makes it go away for a short time. But tomorrow is still there. And so they go back to the bottle again and again and again, and they still can't find peace in their soul. It's not until Jesus Christ comes into a life that a life is revived and a change happens that brings real peace. And so I want us to take a look at this woman here to this morning, make some applications for us today. The first thing I want you to notice here with me is in verse 25. Verse 25 says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. I want you to notice here her disease. This woman's disease. The Bible says that she had an issue of blood. Exactly what does that mean? Well, we're not exactly sure. The Bible doesn't say, but certainly she was losing blood. And she was constantly bleeding and having an issue, a problem. And her very life was probably ebbing away. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. You know, you can't live without blood coursing through your veins, can you? And here she has an issue of blood, the Bible says. She's losing her very life. And no doubt she was weak. No doubt she was sick because of this disease. In this condition, she probably was unclean, and more likely than anything else, she was very miserable because of this disease. And she couldn't take it anymore. And we get the sense from reading this passage of Scripture that she was a desperate woman. What does it say here? Verse 26, that she had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. You get the idea and the sense that she was a desperate woman and she needed something that she could not find for herself. And you know, this is a great application or illustration of so many people in this world. What were the effects of her disease? Well, she was probably weak and anemic and sick. She was unclean. She was miserable. All of those things were effects from her disease. And you know what? This world that is full of sin and people's lives that are full of sin have the very same effects in their life. Sin has the very same effect on people's lives. So many are suffering. and so many are unhappy in life. And many people have life issues that they're trying to deal with that cause only heartache. You probably all know people who've got this thing in their life and that thing in their life, and it's just a burden on them, and it just weighs them down. They're unhappy in life, and they can't deal with these issues. They're suffering, and they experience heartache after heartache after heartache. We see it all around us. Sin is the root cause of the problems of this world. Sin is the root cause of problems in your life and in my life. Sin is the cause. And you know, people try to fill their life up with all of these things. You know, they get relationships. Oh, if I have this relationship and I'm married to this person, whatever. And when things start out, they're great. And it's the honeymoon phase and all that. And then time goes by and you begin to see the real person. And how many people are struggling in their marriages right now saying, I should have never married that person. Maybe the foundation of that relationship wasn't really love. Maybe it was lust. Maybe it was physical things. And when all of that is gone, what are you left with? Maybe there are people who spend their whole life trying to gain wealth and build up, you know, a life for themselves, and it all comes crashing down around them, and they find that there is no happiness in any of that. And problem after problem after problem after problem. Why? Sin is the root cause. Sin is the cancer of the soul for all of us. Look with me in Psalm 53. Hold your place here in Mark and just turn over to Psalm 53. Psalm 53. Note what the Bible says about people in general. Verse 3. Well, let's go back to verse 2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. So you see God's motive here. He's looking down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is anybody who seeks after God. Look at verse 3. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's quite a statement, isn't it? God scouring the earth, looking down from heaven to see if there's anybody that seeks after God, and all he could see is that every one of us are filthy, and there's none of us that do good. No, not one. And how many people prop themselves up as being a good person? Oh yeah, I'm a good person. I feel like I'm a good citizen, and I do this and I do that and I go to church and I'm a good person. Everybody feels that way about themselves, probably. Most people do anyway. But that's not how God sees us. God doesn't see us as good people. In fact, it's very easy to prove from our own standard, our own way of thinking, that we're not good people. We're actually hypocrites. You know? And it's very easy to prove that, even just by your life. We won't take the time to go into that, but God looks down from heaven and he says, no, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Look at Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64. And I'll just go ahead and read it if you don't get there. If you get there in time, you can follow along with me. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, that's our sins, like the wind have taken us away. Look at this description here. We're all as an unclean thing, and all the things that we think are good about ourselves are filthy rags in God's eyes. We have a disease. Like this woman. The disease is called sin. Sin is the root cause. It's the cancer of the soul. Sin is what causes us, listen, to make foolish choices. Think about this. Sin is what causes us to make foolish choices that play themselves out and lead to more and more trouble and difficulty in life. When you make one bad choice, it leads to another bad choice, and there are always consequences for the choices that we make. Always. And it leads to more and more difficulty. People have money problems. And those money problems, because maybe they made some bad choices, and those money problems turn to arguments between a husband and a wife, and you say things that you don't mean, and you or the relationship gets really strained because of these other problems. And now there's a divorce that takes place that was a direct result of the issues that you were facing with the money problems. Now the divorce takes place, and now there's a broken home, and now there are children without two parents, and that leads somebody to despair, and then they turn to the bottle, and they turn to booze, and they look at all of these things, and look, sin just plays itself out to more and more and more heartache. Sin is the cancer of the soul. Turns to addiction problems. Those addiction problems. But it doesn't stop there. How often has this played itself out in the lives of people? Dad's an alcoholic. Broken home, broken family. Kids pick up on those things. The next, and the cycle just keeps repeating itself. It's sin. And we all have that problem. All of these cause misery and suffering. And people don't know how to deal with the issues that they face in their life. And they become overwhelmed. Just like this woman here, she couldn't deal with it. She tried everything she possibly could. And nothing satisfied. Nothing fixed it. And it wasn't until Jesus came into her life that she experienced a real life change. Because of the problems and the misery and the suffering, people turn to booze and sex and drugs just to try to make it go away for just a little while. But it only makes things worse. And the Bible says here that this woman, in verse 26, that this woman suffered many things trying to fix her issues. You see that? She suffered many things trying to fix her issues. How often does that take place? People trying to fix their issues and their problems, and it only leads to more suffering. So they're in despair. We see this woman's disease, but I want you to look in verse 26 here. We also see her effort. Go back to Mark chapter 5. We see her disease, but now we see her effort. Verse 26, she suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. The Bible says she spent all that she had to fix her problem. You know what? She saw every doctor that was available. And, you know, one doctor probably couldn't fix her, and so she went to the next one, and she spent money there, and she probably mortgaged her house to try to deal with this issue, and she went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and nobody could fix this problem. Nothing seemed to really work. In fact, it grew worse. And this clearly tells me that she wanted her life situation to be different. She wanted things to be different, and she wanted that change. She wanted to end the miserable state that she was in. She was earnest enough about it, but she kept going to the wrong source. There was no external application that could make the change that she needed. Her cure was not with the wisdom of men, clearly. And she was earnest enough about it, but she kept going to the wrong source. And there are so many who are just like her living today. They're finding life unfulfilling, or they're facing realities of bad choices, and they're looking for a change. They know they need the change, but they continually go to the wrong source. You know, the self-help books of this world will never, ever fix the real issues of the heart. Oh, there might be some valuable things here and there in some of those self-help books, but they're never going to fix the problems. They won't fix the real problem. You know, seeing a psychologist is not the answer. It's not going to fix the real problem. How often? That's the first thing that people do. They're facing troubles in their life, and so what do? Oh, I got to go see a psychiatrist. I got to go see my shrink. And they can never fix, man's wisdom will never fix the real problems of the soul. Even going to church, oh, here it is. It's going to shock you. It's going to surprise you. Even going to church is not going to fix the real problem. That's what a lot of people will do. If they don't go and see a psychologist, maybe they're like, oh, well, I need this change in my life. Things aren't working out like I know they should, and I just need God in my life. And so they go find the nearest church that they can. Going to church is not going to fix the real problem of the soul. Having this understanding, well, I need God in my life. Yes, we do. We do need God in our life, but it's not our efforts. It's not something that we can put forward. It's the wrong source and the wrong motive. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, we just read it. What does it say? It says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's eyes. The things that we do that we think are good, that are righteous things, like going to church, for example, in God's eyes, it's a filthy rag. So many think that they have life by the tail and everything is going well, but then it all falls apart and they work and they work and they work to try to get back what they once had, only to find that all of their efforts are vain. And even all the things that they once had could never, ever, ever satisfy anyway. This woman put forth a lot of effort to try to fix her problem. And what does the Bible say? That nothing worked. In fact, it grew worse. We see her effort. But I want you to look here in verse 26 as well, and it's the last part of that verse. Here's all of her efforts, and all of her efforts are in vain, but rather her condition grew worse, and here we see her failure. Here's the disease. She can't fix it. She tries all that she can. She goes about every way that she knows, and it doesn't work, and she ends up failing. Her failure. She only grew worse despite all of her efforts. Plus, now, all of her means were gone. She spent everything she had. She has no place to go, and she has no hope as far as her own resources are concerned. Her doctors were of no value. She probably felt completely helpless. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your own self in that kind of a situation? And you just feel at a loss. And you feel hopeless because you don't see any end to this. And how's it gonna turn out? And how's it gonna be remedied? And what's my life gonna be? And I don't even understand all that's going on, and you just feel completely helpless. But really, when you think about it, that's exactly where she needed to be. She needed to be at a point of hopelessness, and a point where she understood she could not help herself. That's exactly where she needed to be in order to finally get the change that she was looking for, in order to send her to the right source, which was Jesus. Which was Jesus. And let me make this application here this morning. The answer to the problems that you and I face in life. Sir, ma'am, the answers to the problems that you face in life are not Dr. So-and-so. Or just determining within yourself that you're going to make this life change of your own effort. All right, I'm going to start doing things differently. You know, and you set up your own plan of attack. The answer is not Dr. So-and-so or self-effort. The answer for the misery and the turmoil and the heartache that a person may feel inside is not to try to change your circumstances. I mean, so many people, that's how they feel. You know, they're experiencing these problems, they got turmoil inside. Maybe it's a lady, maybe it's a woman. Her life hasn't turned out like she thought. And maybe she's on her own, maybe she's got a couple of kids, I don't know. And she feels helpless and she feels alone. And she doesn't know what she's going to do. And so her idea is, I need another relationship. I need a man to help me, to take care of me, whatever. And she doesn't want to be alone. She doesn't want to be empty inside. And she wants the change, but she keeps going to the wrong source to find the answer. And so maybe there's a relationship that she seeks after, but it only causes more problems. Maybe that one ends in divorce too, etc., etc. And all we find with our own efforts is just failure. Failure. The real answer is Jesus Christ. The real answer, and somebody might think, well, that's just so simplistic. How is Jesus Christ the answer to my problem? The reason that Jesus Christ is the answer to the problem is because he doesn't just change circumstances, he changes the inside. And the inside, when Jesus Christ comes in, is completely different. And now there's supernatural power to conquer sin. And we don't have to be slaves to our sin anymore. When we yield our life to Jesus Christ, he comes in and makes a full and complete change. Let him have your life. Let him give you a life change that only he can give. And really, for this woman, she's the example. Coming to Jesus Christ was the only cure for this woman. And he is the only cure for the real problems of our lives. You and I, we need to come to the place of realizing that we cannot change ourselves and we cannot help ourselves. Just like this woman. All she found was failure. And when he came into her life, he impacted her life in such a way that it made full and complete change. And what do we see in these next few verses? Look at verse 27 and following. When she had heard of Jesus, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Look, she knew it. And she, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. What was it? What was it that made her whole? What was it that cured her of her disease, according to this verse? It was her faith. It was her faith in Jesus Christ. It was her faith in his power and his ability to make a change in the life. Not her own efforts, but her faith in Christ. That's what brought peace. Jesus said, go in peace and be whole. Here I want you to notice her faith. We've seen her disease. We've seen her effort. We've seen her failure. And it brought her to a place of faith. She had heard of Jesus and what he could do, how he helped the helpless. And she believed what she had heard. And this faith that Jesus was the answer led her to push her way through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. It was her faith that made her act in such a way as to come to Jesus. You know, faith is not some incantation or some religious ritual. Faith is not in some religious ceremony, but faith, a person, the person of Jesus Christ. You know, others might have thought her to be ridiculous and stupid. You're going to do what? You're going to go touch Jesus' clothes? You know, you've worked so hard at this, and here's probably a better answer. People probably would have thought she was ridiculous and stupid for coming to Jesus. They probably would have said, "Oh, that Jesus stuff doesn't work." I've heard that many times in my life. Her faith was simple, but yet, oh, so powerful. She believed on Jesus Christ, and she believed that if she could just touch his garment, she would find that instant salvation. And let me make this application for us today. Salvation from sin is really what you and I need. Sin is the root cause. Sin is the problem. We need to be saved. We need to be forgiven of our sin. Salvation from sin is what we need, my friend. Where do you find it? It's not in religion. It's not in going to church. It's not in ritual, but it's in the person of Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 in verse 12? Neither is there salvation in any other, speaking of Jesus. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 1. And I'll finish up with these few verses here. Matthew chapter 1. In verse 21, the context is the birth of Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. That's who he is. He's the Savior. He came to this earth to die on a cruel, rugged cross to shed his perfect blood so that you and I could have forgiveness of sins. So that you and I could have a change in our life that we really need, that really makes the full difference. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," Jesus. There's no other way to have your sins forgiven. And that's really what we need. A personal relationship with him is what's going to bring real lasting change and peace to a life. And beyond that, listen, far beyond that, it's going to grant eternal life unto us. So that we, when we pass from this life, will spend eternity in heaven. That's the only way, my friend, that we'll ever see heaven. And so in one sense, it's a double blessing. In this life, we find contentment, we find peace, we find purpose through Jesus Christ. Not that we'll never, ever have problems in this life, but we have God's power in our life when we know Jesus Christ. And not only that, when we leave this life, heaven is our home for all eternity. Only Jesus can do that. There's no other way. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Acts chapter 16. How do you have that relationship? How do you find that peace? Acts 16 and verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. If you look in the context here, a jailer, the Philippian jailer, is supposed to keep guard over the prison, over the prisoners. And that night, the doors were opened and there was a great miracle that happened. And the jailer came and he found the doors open and he thought that all the prisoners had escaped and he was about ready to kill himself. And the apostle said, don't do any harm to yourself. Do thyself no harm. And notice what he says. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How is it that I can have eternal life? How can I have my sins forgiven? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the only way a person will ever find victory, is through Christ. You know, this woman, her faith brought to her great victory that day. She was healed of her disease, and her disease was healed, and it wasn't something that was, you know, going to happen over time and so on. Her disease was healed immediately. Look at verse 29, back in Mark chapter 5. Verse 29 says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of that plague. She experienced immediate victory in her life. That personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ is what made the difference. And so it is when one comes to Him in repentance of sin and faith toward Christ, there's a great and immediate change that takes place. The Bible says that her cure was sudden, straightway. Immediately, Christ answered the cry. And when a person comes to Jesus Christ, immediately there's a change. He responds immediately to the cry of faith. But not only was it immediate, it was complete. Her cure was complete. Look at that in verse 29. The fountain of her blood was dried up. It was no more. It was a complete cure. The very fountain of her trouble was dried up. And you know, here's the application. God's remedy, Jesus Christ, His remedy goes right to the very root. What is the fountain of our trouble in this life? I've said it over and over and over again. The fountain of our trouble is sin. But when Jesus Christ comes in, and He's the answer and He's the remedy, it goes right to the very root. That fountain of trouble is dried up. The remedy for that problem is Jesus. Let me conclude with this. I asked you in the beginning of this message, maybe it's you that needs a life change. Maybe it's you that Jesus Christ wants to impact today. Could this story, this illustration of this woman here, could this story be about you? A problem? Giving all kinds of effort to try to fix it, only finding failure. You need to come to the place of helplessness and turn. The question is, will you come to Him? Will you let Him change your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this illustration, the story of this woman who couldn't help herself, because it's an illustration of all of us. We can't help ourselves. Only Jesus Christ can make the change that we really need. Father, I pray that in these next few moments, Lord, that You'd be working in people's lives, people's hearts. And Lord, I don't know anybody's heart. I can't see into the heart of any individual, but You can. So Father, I pray that as You look over this crowd today, as You see into the souls of men today, Father, would You accomplish Your purpose? And if there's one or two or three or four without Jesus Christ today, who Maybe they're experiencing some trials in their life. Maybe they've tried all that they know how to fix it, but it keeps getting worse. May they understand that they need Jesus Christ. They need to be forgiven of their sin. Would you draw all men unto men? Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment, please.